I grabbed the mic and locked in. It was January 2018, on the cusp of my 30th birthday, and I was prowling back and forth on stage at the Comic Strip Live, a comedy club on New York City's Upper East Side. I was absolutely killing it, man. A rare feeling. Stand-up comedy crowds can be warm. I'm prepared for them to be icy. Used to it, really. But this one was on fire. Bodies were squeezed into every seat just looking for an excuse to laugh. I felt larger than life, like Mario after eating a mushroom or LeBron dunking on a fast break. The Comic Strip is an institution. Seinfeld, Chappelle, Sandler, Murphy, Rock. Every comic who has made it had at some point gone through this place. The venue is deep and cavernous, with seats crammed at long tables strewn throughout the room. Behind the stage is a familiar brick wall. Somewhere between the main stage and the front entrance, out of sight of the crowd, is a green room for performers, which is more like a green broom closet. In some parts of the venue, it's hard to see the performer. When you're the one telling jokes, you can't see shit. My set was part of the Big Brown Comedy Hour, a recurring show that Dean Obidala and Maysoon Zaid, New York City-based comics, started in 2009 as a way of putting a spotlight on up-and-coming comics of South Asian or Middle Eastern descent. These shows are always packed to the brim with, well, brown people, who rarely get to see shows like this. When brown crowds are in, they come to laugh. After 7 years of doing comedy, getting the room to laugh because of something I constructed still gives me a high. When a punchline really lands, I mean really, it is the kind of moment I want to freeze, store in a jar, and put on a shelf forever, or pour into one of those pensies from Harry Potter. But laughter is fleeting, and you have to keep things fresh. That night, I decided to test out some new material, a seasonally appropriate bit about the holidays. My favorite Christmas tradition growing up was asking my mom what the meaning of Christmas was. Every year, we'd be like, "Hey, Mom, what's the meaning of Christmas?" She'd go, "Oh, it's when Jesus died on the cross." We'd say, "Oh, why did Jesus die on the cross?" She'd answer, "It's because Jesus became a carpenter instead of a doctor." The bit played on a tired South Asian trope that Indian kids are supposed to become doctors. It didn't quite slay, but I heard the laughter ripple across the room. What I didn't hear was my own bullshit. For one thing, I grew up Hindu. My family didn't exactly have Christmas traditions, which explains why I confuse Christmas and Easter. The only traditions of any kind we had were family squabbles and seething resentment that split our family into warring factions. What I knew about healthy families at Christmas was what I saw in pop culture. Think chestnuts roasting on an open fire, or Miracle on 34th Street, or Tim Allen's The Santa Claus. Yes, even the last one. The best stand-up comics deliver searing honesty to the audience. They're supposed to expose and clarify truths about the world as they see it. They heighten hypocrisies and spotlight inequalities, and they do it all for the crowd's amusement. Someone once framed it for me this way. The greats tell the audience what is funny, rather than try to make them laugh. But I was handing this crowd someone else's honesty with that joke, telling them what I pictured a stereotypical Christmas with Indian parents to be like. That I didn't know the first thing about a happy Christmas made me all the more eager to talk about it. It was a paradox. I had spent much of my life running away from my skin color and culture. And yet the thing I felt most comfortable discussing on stage was my South Asian ethnicity. Talking about any version of the brown experience felt cathartic, whether it was the mangled one of my childhood or the way I imagined a happy brown kid growing up. I had just 10 minutes to give the crowd at the comic strip a little taste of my truth, and I had more to say. I launched into some jokes I had written about my Indian family. This was the real stuff. First, there was the bitter divorce between my mother, Bishaka, and my father, Shamal, after a long and ill-fated arranged marriage. Then there was a healthy dose of cultural alienation, a smattering of outlandish but totally true stories about my parents, and the father who disappeared to India 11 years prior without telling anyone. No, really, he did. I had the punchlines down pat,